Let's get another perspective now. Tad DeHaven is a budget analyst with the Cato Institute. That's a libertarian think tank here in Washington, D.C. That means that the group generally favors a minimal government role where possible. He joins us now from member station WITF in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome to you. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me on.
Now, you've argued that it's not worth trying to save the Postal Service as a government agency and that a better idea is to try to privatize that service. How so?
Yeah, I think a mistake that the congressman makes is in assuming that by privatizing or – nobody's talking about eliminating postal mail delivery in this country. The question is, going forward, are we going to start going back to the days of taxpayer subsidies? Or are we going to privatize it and let competition and markets sort of figure out what this country wants and needs? And unfortunately, the status quo is not sustainable. Just about everybody acknowledges it's unsustainable. He made reference to the auto industry, that people wanted to get rid of the auto industry. Well, that's ridiculous. Does he not know the difference between bankruptcy and something disappearing? There's nothing wrong with restructuring and figuring out a way to privatize services. And again, it's about choice. And
let's focus our arguments on the arguments rather than the congressman, because unfortunately we couldn't sync your schedules up so you could talk to each other. It's not there was no lack of a desire to speak to each other. We just couldn't get you together at the same time. So tell me why privatizing the system would be better.
Well, because I think we finally figure out what Americans want. The government doesn't operate grocery stores, clothing stores. These are obviously important things. And, if you look at, people point to the Constitution, say it's in the Constitution. What's in the Constitution is that Congress can establish postal roads and postal offices. And, a couple hundred years ago, the mail went on a post route to a post office and then a private carrier delivered it. And it was actually private carriers that first introduced stamps in this country. What we have today, the 6 days a week all over the, up to somewhere in Alaska, is a creation of Congress. And in the 21st century, when we have text, Twitter, all these email, all these other things, we need to try and figure out what makes the sense. And the only way to figure out what makes the most sense is see what people are willing to pay and what kind of services they want. But this one-size-fits-all monopoly isn't going to work. Technology is undermining that monopoly. And so what are we going to do about it going forward? Put it on taxpayers?
Two quick questions for you in the time that we have left. And it's a rich topic, and I hope we'll return to it. But Congressman Towns made an argument, and others have made a second one. The first argument he made is that this institution has been such a significant employer, particularly of people who have not gotten a fair shake from private employers, that alone is worth preserving it. The other argument that people make is, when you alluded to, in rural areas, the Postal Service is the only game in town, and that would be cost prohibitive, and that would be a kind of a cost to our social cohesion if people in rural areas don't have access at affordable rates to a service that allows them to essentially connect with others. What's your answer to those two questions?
Well, first, the rural issue. Nobody forces anybody to live in the middle of Montana. And the fact of the matter is the federal government, the taxpayers, already subsidizing rural broadband, rural electricity. And with regard to mail, is it the social cohesive? Is it what binds the nation together, or is it Verizon, AT&T, Facebook, and
okay,
things of that nature? And
again, okay,
and the only way to figure
question?
Out
– And on the employment question?
Oh, on the employment question, if you look at what's going to be downsized, it's not going to be the urban areas. And I think we should be, looking at the black community. And I have a nephew, my godson is biracial, and I wouldn't tell him that your future lies in a antiquated government agency. I would be saying to him, go out and be the next Mark Zuckerberg. Be the entrepreneur. You have these talent skills and these current workers. This is an opportunity for urban employees to have the freedom to compete against their old boss and see if they can do better.
Okay. Well, hopefully you'll tweet our conversation too. Okay.
I will.
Tad DeHaven is a budget analyst with the Cato Institute. He joined us from member station WITF in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Tad, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Coming up, this is the time of year when it's all too easy to whip out those credit cards and not look too closely at the bottom line. But our money coach, Alvin Hall, says if you don't look at anything else, then please do take a look at your credit report.
Your credit report is the thing that companies use to give you credit, to judge your employability. Also, it determines the interest rate that you will pay on certain types of debt.
Alvin makes the case for an early New Year's resolution to improve your credit. That's coming up on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.